Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The string quartet known as Brooklyn Rider is on a quest to make a tradition anchored in Haydn and Mozart relevant to a young generation whose tastes gravitate more towards rock bands like Radiohead or Animal Collective. So far, they've fared better than many other quartets. They were the lone classical group at this year's South by Southwest Festival in Austin. And their latest album, called Dominant Curve, has earned a positive review from Pitchfork, the hard-to-please indie website. Having said all that, they are here to play some of Debussy's string quartet, a piece that might seem somewhat conventional, but as they'll explain in a moment, is anything but. Here is the second movement of the Debussy string quartet in G minor, played live in our Soundcheck studio by Brooklyn Rider.
Thank you.
From Brooklyn, the home of indie rock, comes Brooklyn Rider, a string quartet that takes an almost indie rock approach to their various records. On the album Dominant Curve, you can hear them play that entire piece, the Debussy String Quartet in G minor. For us here, live in the studio, they just played the second movement of Debussy's one and only string quartet. Joining me at the microphones are the two violinists of Brooklyn Rider, Johnny Gandelsman and Colin Jacobson. The violist is Nicholas Cords, and Eric Jacobson plays the cello. Guys, good to have you back with us here at WNYC.
See you, John.
Hey, John.
Mentioning kind of the rock connection, you guys make, Colin, you make concept records, right? You know, well, the albums all have kind of a theme behind them.
I'd say this one certainly does, and you know, the dominant curve that Debussy set in motion, which we take to be just sort of a world viewpoint. I mean, you were talking about soccer earlier, and I don't know if Debussy was a soccer fan or, you know, but he, by this movement we just played, I'd say would be rooting for Spain.
Now, but why do you think that?
You know, he was obsessed with all things Iberian. I mean, that was one
true
of the things that he was obsessed with. And I think there's a little bit of Olé in that piece we just did. But his worldview goes very wide. And the other works on the album, we tried to pick up on that. And it relates to our experiences in our world, in Brooklyn, in, you know, with the Silk Road Ensemble and, and many things.
You guys all met playing with Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble, right?
Well, we met before then, but we solidified our relationship, I'd say, there.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, you and your brother would have met before.
Yeah, we worked on that earlier.
Yeah, yeah. So Johnny, it's known that Debussy saw an Indonesian gamelan in like 1888 or so, and that was like something that hit him right between the eyes.
That's right.
So that Asian cast, the looking eastward, is that kind of the theme that you guys are following on this record?
It's one of the themes, but I think it's more about looking at the world as an inspiration, you know, not being sort of fixed in one tradition, but really looking outside of your tradition and getting inspiration from all over the world. So, and I think not only Debussy, but the album also features music by John Cage and a friend of ours, Ko Umezaki, and John Cage definitely looked at the East as a very serious point of inspiration, and the arrangement of his In a Landscape piece for solo piano in the version on the album is for string quartet and electronics, and it just expands that mysterious meditative world of John Cage that we really wanted to participate in.
And the contemporary Japanese piece that we heard, Cycles, What Falls Must Rise, when we were beginning the segment, also featuring not just the Japanese shakuhachi flute, but electronics as well.
That's right.
So the whole world, meaning, you know, not geographically, but kind of musically as well. You can draw on electronic music, traditional music, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Okay. Also, for folks who later today will watch the video that we just shot of you guys playing the Debussy, it may take them a moment to realize what's different, but with the exception of Eric playing the cello, you play standing up as if wielding electric guitars or something in a rock band.
It took a string quartet 300 years to stand up. Please stand up. I don't know. There are other groups doing it. We just do it because we like the freedom of motion and, you know, being able to really communicate well with each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, Colin, the piece we're going to hear next is an excerpt from your work, which is a response to the Debussy, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew that we were going to record Debussy Quartet, and so that was lingering in my ear. And it's not directly related to the quartet, but the ideas that Debussy works with, modal systems, rhythmic cycles, those all influenced it. And it was written in Loveland, Colorado, thus the title Loveland.
Okay. Now that's the overall piece is
called Achilles' Heel or Achilles' Heel.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask was whether you say Achilles' Heel or Achille, because Achille was Debussy's middle name, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Same word, but different pronunciation.
However you want, John.
It's your piece. I'll stick with Achilles' Heel.
Okay, it's easier.
So that's the piece we're going. That's the overall piece.
Yeah.
And the movement
the
that we're going to hear
movement
is
called Love.
All right. The group is Brooklyn Rider, and the CD is called Dominant Curve, featuring the music of Debussy, leading them to some pretty surprising places musically. One of them is this piece by violinist Colin Jacobson. Loveland is the name of it. Once again, a live performance in the Soundcheck studio from the band Brooklyn Rider. Violinist Colin Jacobson wrote that piece called Achilles' Heel. It's in several parts, and we just heard part three called Loveland. Colin Jacobson once again playing the violin with Johnny Gandelsman. The violist is Nicholas Cords. The cellist is Eric Jacobson. Nicholas and Eric joining me at the microphones. And Nicholas, I called you guys a band. It just seems the right word. I mean, as opposed to, you know, ensemble or something like that. Where do you guys find yourselves playing these days? Is it on classical, you know, chamber music series, recital halls, things like that?
Well, we do that for sure. I mean, that's a lot of what we do, in fact. But I think we like to operate without borders in place, and that goes to venues as well. So you mentioned South by Southwest is a place that we played. We do concert halls. We did a series of concerts at New Blue, which is a club on Avenue C, earlier this fall, which was a lot of fun. We love that. We just played a show at Borders Bookstore. So, like, music can exist in so many different spaces, especially the kind of music that we play.
And in fact, you'll be doing this, Eric, in an even more unusual space in the fall. We were talking earlier today about the kind of, you know, juncture of music and soccer, but you guys are going to be at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, we're playing at the U.S. Open on Labor Day, which is going to be pretty fun. We're going to get, you know, our instruments and rackets restrung and go out there and really, you know, throw our heart into the game.
Now, what do you do for a concert at the U.S. Open?
Well, I don't know. I think we just, you know, racket things back and forth and, you know, tossing things around. And
I mean, it's kind of a cool opportunity to look around the world again. You know, like, we're in World Cup time now, but U.S. Open is also a gathering of nations, you know, and so we might look to...
Yeah, assuming that, you know, Federer is going to be great again. You know, this is just a fluke, this thing that happened. And
at Wimbledon,
you
mean?
Play some Swiss music, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to also play some Spanish music as well.
Well, you've actually, I mean, talking about spanning the globe, I mean, you have a Finnish piece to play for us next. The Finns are mad for tangos, aren't they?
Yeah, it's kind of a wild thing. We didn't know about it until a few years ago, and it turns out that the tango is more or less the most popular song in Finland, and the story goes that it took Elvis to outseed the tango as number one on the charts.
So for most of the 20th century, it was all tango, tango, tango.
Yeah. There's something really sexy about showing up at a club to do the tango when it's been light outside for about a half an hour that entire day. very different than maybe Argentina.
So this composer, Toivo Karki, so this is not imported from Argentina. This
is a Finnish
tango.
Finnish tango. I think there are some real differences between that and the Argentine tango. I mean, the Finnish tango tends to be more melancholy, I think.
Gee, you know, when there's an hour of sunlight a day, what a surprise. But this one's called Taisiku, Full Moon.
Meaning the full moon, and which already gives away, I think, a little bit of its musical feeling. But it's a really beautiful tune, and this was one of the really popular ones sung by this great singer. His name is Oliva Virta. This was one of the chart-topping tunes of the 1950s.
All right, well, let's hear it in a live performance from the band Brooklyn Rider. This arrangement by the violist and composer known as Liova of Toivo Karki's Taisiku, The Full Moon, a Finnish tango played by Brooklyn Rider in our New York studio. Thank you. And there's an enigmatic ending. The tango is called Taisiku, the Full Moon, from the Finnish composer Toivo Karki, in an arrangement by the violist named Liova, who's based here in New York, and a performance in our New York studio by Brooklyn Ryder, Johnny Gandelsman and Colin Jacobson violins, Nicholas Cords viola, Eric Jacobson playing the cello. Check out their latest CD. It's called Dominant Curve. And check out the video that we've been shooting of their performance here in our Soundcheck studio. That'll be on our website, wnyc.org/soundcheck, later this afternoon. To the members of Brooklyn Ryder, guys, thanks so much for coming in and performing for us. And that'll do it for today's show. Next time on Soundcheck, we'll look at new albums from two provocateurs in pop music, rocker Liz Phair and the rapper and singer M.I.A. Also, soprano Angela Mead is an increasingly hot property in the opera world. She'll perform live in the Soundcheck studio. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our program produced by Brian Wise with Daoud Tyler Amin. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer, and we had help today from Lauren Harrington. A little bit more from Brooklyn Ryder and a piece called Brookleska in the background. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time next time for another Soundcheck.